All right, let's just start by talking about, real quickly, Thanksgiving. Tell me something around Thanksgiving that you're just really, really thankful for. Besides Ben and Lester and, yeah. Thanksgiving didn't matter at all for anyone because he wasn't there. Y'all are just goofy. All right, what are y'all thankful for? Yeah, that's true. What else? Yeah, this one, and yeah, that's good. What else? Well, say that again. Really? Well, there you go. Wow. What else? Right. That's good. That's good. Yeah, we spent this week at a family ranch. And you know, and it's just cool when it's just hanging out with family and just doing everyday stuff. Sometimes I think to myself that, you know, when I'm just eating dinner, I'm going to take a picture soon of just eating dinner. Because I think sometimes, you know, we remember the big old things, but I think there's going to come a day where we're thinking, man, I just wish that we could just have one of those dinners again, where we're just sitting around and some are arguing and some are complaining about the food and all that. But, you know, it's one of those things. And so I'm going to take a picture of that. There is so much to be thankful for. We've got to remember that. All right, I'm going to describe a relationship to you, okay? A relationship between two parties. But I'm really only going to give you one side for the most part. Let's put the slide up. Let's just say this is from one side of it. So on one side of it, you have to keep the rules. In this relationship, there's one person who has to keep the rules. Now, the rules came from somebody else, the other person in this scenario. So you have to keep the rules, and then the same individual is afraid to mess up because of these rules. And these rules are very difficult to, you know, always get the rules right. So you have to keep the rules, afraid to mess up. And then when you do mess up, you have to apologize whenever you mess up. So every single time you mess up, you have to apologize. All right? Now, again, from this one person's point of view, you have to keep the rules in order for the relationship to be good, because if you break the rules, the relationship is messed up. Okay? So let's just soak that in a little bit. Now, you know what? You might have been in a relationship a little bit like this, or maybe you've known somebody in a relationship like this. All right? So that's from one person's vantage point. Now, let's speak from that person's vantage point. Imagine being that person. You're that person that has to do all that. Okay? Give me some quick answers. What would it be like to be that person? Stressful. Yes, because you're always afraid to mess up. That is stressful. And then there's this rule and that rule. Okay, well, that's good. What else? How so?
Well, I mean, if you love the person unconditional and you're in a relationship like that, you're going to do it because you love them like that.
You are. Well, potentially. Yeah, potentially. So what else? Yeah, there's not a lot. Okay, repetitive. What else? Just think, you're this person that has to keep all of these rules. Eventual anger. You'll give me rules. I give you rules. You know, just like, you're giving me rules. No, yeah, I think so. It's just like a slow burn that just kind of turns into a fire. Oh, wear you out. Yep. Give me one. You got one more? No rest and a messed up relationship. Oh, okay. So, all right. Now think about the other side of it. The individual that created this scenario, they're the ones that put those rules in place. They created a relationship where the other person's afraid to mess up. They created a relationship where every time that person messes up, they have to come to apologize to them. And then the relationship is only good if you keep the rules. Okay, now let's think about that person. How would you describe this person? Selfish. Yes, what else?
Control freak.
Absolutely. What else? Someone else?
Not a lot of freedom and grace.
Not a lot of freedom and not a lot of grace. Yeah. That's good. What else? Give me one more.
He probably holds all the money.
Or she. Or she. That's if it's me. No, it's funny.
How about insecure?
Probably so. Insecure. Absolutely. I know. Do you keep the rules, Mark? Listen, that's the first time he's ever said that. Yeah, if you say so. All right, so, okay, now listen to this. We got to dig on this a little bit, all right? For a lot of people, this is what a relationship with the Lord looks like. Just think about it, right? Just think about it. Now, remember, we take a step back to how we describe both parties, but that's what people think it is. I have to keep the rules. I want to mess up, and I keep on messing up. Well, when I mess up, I'm just going to have to apologize. I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness over and over and over and over because I never stop from messing up. I have to just keep on with these rules because when I don't, when I just keep on with that sin that nobody knows about, when I keep on having these outbursts of anger, when I keep on having these thoughts, when I keep on doing these things, then I'm never good enough to be in this relationship. And so we don't even feel like maybe we can even approach the Lord because, you know, we just keep on messing up. And so the relationship can't be good because how's he going to look at us? Well, disappointed, probably. Angry, maybe. So this is how a lot of people actually view a relationship with the Lord. You see that a little bit? I mean, we didn't see that when we were first talking, but I think we can see it now. And so the same thing is the case. If a person feels like they're under this, then a lot of the answers you guys already gave are going to be true. I mean, they're going to feel insecure. They're going to feel they're afraid to mess up. They're going to just feel like they're on pins and needles, maybe a growing anger. But then on the other side of it, a lot of people think that God's just mean. I mean, just all about making rules. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, just you make rules, and if I blow it, and you know, and I just have to come up to you and apologize. So, I mean, again, for a lot of people, this is what it looks like to live in relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't know that a lot of us would put it in these terms, but that's why we're talking about it today. So, as we've been in this series called Address the Mess, this doesn't seem like the type of faith that we've been describing. Because did the Lord give rules and commandments? He did. He did. But was it in order to beat us down? Was it in order to make us feel insecure about ourselves? No, no, no. He had a very good reason. He had a very good reason, and we've been talking about this. What he wanted us to know was he puts these things in place to know that we can't live up to rules, that we're always going to break the rules, we're always going to mess up eventually. But the reason why he wanted us to know that is because he wanted us to feel the need for him. Remember, we talked about two different things that when we realize our mess, when we realize our sin, there's two different things that it can really help us do according to the scriptures. And one, it can lead us to God. And also, it can help us see our need for God. So, we're going to continue with our series, Address the Mess. Because with what we talked about is that our mess, when we mess up, it could be one of the best things that ever happened to us. We think that our mess is our mess, and it's just going to be, I mean, we can't shake it. It's who we are. And really, our mess can help. It can be the best thing because it can lead us to God. All right, so it won't be up there, but the verse. And let's go ahead and leave up each slide until we get to the next one. One of the most popular, no, maybe the most popular verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes shall not perish but will have everlasting life. And the way we've been saying it, really, is that for God so loved the mess that he sent his only son to clean up the mess. And so when we believe and when we trust in him, I mean, that what that looks like is that we had been pursuing sin our whole life, and then when we believe and trust and we repent, we turn from our sin and we turn to him. And instead of it being lawmaker and lawbreaker, that's the relationship that a lot of us think it is. It's the lawmaker and the lawbreaker. Instead of that, it becomes loving father and child of God. Loving father and child of God doesn't seem to fit. Still, though, and even though we'll all talk about how much God loves and all that, still so many people think this is what a relationship is like with the Lord. We've got to keep the rules, and we keep on messing up. And not only that, people who are not Christians, they look at it and say, who needs that? I do not That's one of the things. I don't want to just follow a bunch of rules. You know, and who isn't this God mean just to kind of set up a bunch of stuff where we're going to fail and fail and fail and then we're going to go to hell if we don't, you know, on and on. And so that's why we're talking about it, because this is a very subtle thing, but it's very, very real. All right, so when we looked at a process of becoming a child of God, let's take a look at what it looked like. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. It goes from I mess up, and we realize that I mess up, to getting to the point where I gave up. I just can't keep the rules anymore. But then we get to that, we look up, and then God shows up. That's where we left off a couple weeks ago before we talked about be rich last week. Now here's the thing, that's great, and we love this because this is the story of people throughout history. You know, people who've become Christ followers, who've become children of God. Maybe this is your story. You're thinking, okay, I can think about the times where I've messed up. And I came to a point where I finally gave up. Like, I know I can't keep the rules. There's nothing I can do. But then I just said, well, I looked up. I need help. I need a Savior. And then when that happened, God showed up. So here's the thing. We're like, yay, that's great. We love that because we love the idea of redemption, that we were messed up and we've been redeemed, and all of a sudden, things are made right. But what happens is we go back. We go back to, I've got to keep the rules. And then when we don't, we feel really bad about ourselves. And then we think God's disappointed with us. We feel like we just have to apologize, but then it's a cycle. And see, we have to understand that a life with the Lord is more than just messing up and apologizing and messing up and apologizing and messing up and apologizing, but I think that's a cycle a lot of us find ourselves in. All right, so let me ask you a question. Give me some ideas. What are some of the rules that people who are Christ followers think they have to follow in order to follow the Lord? What are some of the rules we think we have to do? We have to keep up with. I'll give you the first one. Like, we have to serve. We think that some people could think that's a rule. I'm not saying it is a rule. I'm just saying that a lot of people think that. What else? Some other things we think we need to do in order to follow the rules. We have to be perfect. Yes. What else? What's that? Good. What else? I heard two things. You said discipline? Yeah, we have to be disciplined in our, you know, something else? No, I thought I heard something. Okay. What else? Stop using metaphors. Right, metaphor. But that's a rule. But that's right. We have to watch what we say. Right, we have to behave ourselves. You know, it's funny. What else? What else do we think we need to do? Like, I have to do that, and if I do that, okay, what else?
Never sin again.
Yeah, and then you can put it, the different categories of sin. What else?
Like, you can't have no fun. You know, you think you're Christian, you can't have any fun. That's the first thing.
You're right. And some of the other things, we need to read the Bible. That's what we should do. That's one of the rules. I'm not saying that this is what, but I'm saying a lot of people view it that way. If I want to be, then I have to read the Bible. It's a rule. And I have to pray. You know, I have to connect. You know, we talked about that here, where you build relationships with people who are other believers and people who are not believers. So it's kind of a rule. We have to share our faith. You know, that's kind of a rule. If I do that, I mean, I need to do that if I'm more going to become close to the Lord. And so let's look at the next slide, because I just kind of put some of the ones that we said and some I came up with on my own. But these are the things that we think of. And here's the thing. We think that if we follow these rules, then we're going to have spiritual growth. All right, now we're kind of plodding along, but this is big because a lot of us have a life of faith that's not alive. I mean, it's there, but we're just kind of, we just don't want to mess up. We're just feeling like it's, you know, there's no adventure, there's no fun, there's no excitement. It's just, oh, I've got to follow the rules. And nobody likes to follow the rules. There's a guy that, well, a lot of people have said it now, but it's that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. So if it's just all about the rules, then it's going to lead to rebellion every single time. But we think that if we follow the rules, all these rules, then we're going to have spiritual growth. And you can think about whatever rules that you have in your mind that are not on that list. But you see, this is where we have to be very careful. Very careful. Because there's some traps here in our faith. Because we believe that the process starts with us, first of all. We think, okay, I have to start this process of growth. And not only that, it's all about outward behavior. That's how I'm going to grow, because following rules is all about outward behavior, right? So if I have this outward behavior, if I do those things, then that is going to equal spiritual growth. Now, there are some ways that there's some truth in that, you know, but not at the heart of it. Again, remember, I'm trying to make this as clear as I can. We believe the process begins with us, and it begins by outward actions. So if we do these things on the outside, then we think that that's going to lead to spiritual growth. Problem is, that's not the process that we see in the scriptures. There's a guy named Paul, also known as Saul. And yeah, I'm going to highlight a few things he said in the book of Philippians. It's written to believers in a place called Philippi. And what he says, I think it informs where we're going. So let's hit Philippians 1:6. All right. He says, and I'm sure of this. And let's leave this one up a little while. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. All right, let me ask you a question. Sometimes you got to look at the verses a little bit. Who does the spiritual growth start with? Okay, where does it say that? Okay. So it's he who began a good work. This is a big difference. Remember, before we're thinking that we're the ones that start the process. We're thinking that if I obey these rules, and then there's going to be spiritual growth. And this is how most people think. This is how most all other religions, how they function. You got to follow the rules, and then you'll draw close to God. But it starts with us. But this is saying, no. It's saying, you don't begin it. He who began a good work. And here's another part of this. All right, let's see if you spot it. We talked about how we must do these things on the outside. This is what we feel. We do these things on the outside, and we have spiritual growth. But it says something different here. Do you know where it says it? Can you spot it? Where did he begin the good work? Did he begin the good work by our behavior? In you. He who began a good work in you. See, it's one of those things that we can read right over, but this is really important for our faith. It's not about we do things on the outside and it changes things on the inside. And it's not even about us starting the process. It's about God doing a good work, and where does he do it? Does he do it by saying, okay, I'm going to set these rules and you follow the rules? No, he begins a good work, and he begins it in us. Night and day, these are two massively different things. But most people live it the other way. So, golly, this might be a little bit tough. I just said golly. Did you hear that? I said golly. People should start saying that more. Emily, start using golly a lot more at school. All right, let me know how it goes. Gee whiz? Heavens to Betsy? Okay. I remember that cartoon. There was a cartoon that did that. That's funny. Okay. Start quoting cartoons, and you know we've gotten a little bit off track. All right, so what's the implications? This one might be tough. Let's see where we can get on this, because you're helping me with the sermon today, because I want to wade through it a little bit. What are the implications that it's not about behavior, it's not about the outside, but the fact that it's about... Let's stop. What are the implications that it doesn't begin with us, but that it begins with the Lord? Let's start with that. Think about it. This one's... Take some brain power on a Sunday morning.
First of all, you have to come as you are. You can't clean yourself up. You have to come as you are, raw, uncut, unedited.
So it's all about, yeah, exactly. Because we think that if it depends all on us, well, then we need to clean up our act, outside behavior. But no, I think one of the major implications is that there's no pressure on us. It's not that it's easy, but it's not all about us. You know, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, a good work that Where does it say that? He who began a good work. So it's he who began a good work. So really, we think that it's about us beginning the good work, and we list up the good works. But no, he's the one who began a good work, and it begins on the inside. Anything else? What else is an implication? What's the implication that it? We've kind of covered this, but that it does begin on the inside and not on the outside. I think that's big. The fact that we have in our mind something that we want to become as Christ followers. And usually has to do with a list of rules. And we think that we have to get to a certain point in our life. But it says that if we follow him, basically, that he's the one that's going to do it. It's going to be by his strength, by his power, by his wisdom, by everything in him. And it's not that we just sit here and wait for him to do the work. It's not that, but he's the one that's going to lead it, and he's the one that's going to bring it to completion. Anything else?
How can you not accept him and let him finish it? You can't just start with God that relationship and just quit it.
Well, let me ask you this. Why would we become a Christ follower and then all of a sudden go back to the rules? Like it's all about just following a bunch of rules, because it's not. Any ideas? Well, I think that's kind of going what we're talking about. Like he does, like we said, we don't just sit around and not do anything and expect for us to become like Jesus. You know, he opens our heart, he gives us the opportunity, but yes, there is a willingness that we must have, that we do have responsibility in it, for sure. You said something. Do you remember? Yeah, habit. Yeah, and no, and I think one of the best things that it's so helpful. I think Max Lucado is the first I heard say it, but how God, he loves us just the way we are. I mean, in our mess, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. So, I mean, that's the good work. That's what he wants to bring to completion.
To answer your question, Ray, yeah. You get a lot of bad data from other people, too. People quote the Bible that have never read the Bible.
That's true. I think part of it is just not understanding our faith. I think that's right. Because, again, all religions, you know, and people would say, well, Christianity's not a religion. Well, yeah, but we're not talking about that right now. But when it comes to all the religions that are not Christianity, they're all based upon good works. You have to work your way into whatever paradise or a relationship with, you know, this God or that God or whatever. Right. Right.
Being born again and becoming a new creature. Because that's how that good work can start.
That's how the good work starts.
It can't start because we're still in our own flesh doing the same thing. And the in you
right.
is that deposit. And when you read most of these letters, when he's talking about that deposit of the Holy Spirit, bring it
Right. Right, and that's a big part of it, is that this doesn't start by, it doesn't start by us just saying, well, I'm going to start following the Lord. I mean, it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And all of that, the good work that's in us, bringing it to completion, it's all by the Spirit. And so, yeah, when you look at in Him, in you, in Christ, abide in Christ, there's so much of that stuff. But this, again, goes, remember where we started, that we think that it's about us. If we have been where we've kind of been off track, then what is the first thing we start to think to ourselves? I need to start showing up on Sunday. I'm not saying any of these things are bad. I need to start praying. I need to start, and it's almost like, and I start doing those things, check, check, check. We can do every single one of those things and feel completely empty. So it's not about rules. It's about so much more than that. So, I mean, this is good. This is kind of like a small group, what we're doing right now. Now, so here's what we're going to go next. So if the Lord, if He's the one that's starting it, how's it going to show itself? I'm not asking that for y'all to answer back. We're about to show a verse. But so the question is about how will it show itself? And I don't have a lot of time to break this down a lot, but we'll get a good indication. Let's look at Philippians 1, 9 through 11. I know it's hard not to read on, and you can do that too, but let's just stop at the first part. And it's my prayer, this is Paul speaking, that your love may abound more and more. Here's what's funny. What you and I will often think is that when we're off track, what we need to do is we need to do, and we get the list of things. What we don't often say, you know what we really need to start doing? We need to start loving more. No one ever says that. No one thinks that if we're off track, I need to love more. And Paul's saying, and the Lord would have inspired him to write, no, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Not that your good works would abound more and more. And are we saying there's no good works? No, we're not saying that. We're just talking about things that come not from the outside and hopefully work in. We're talking about, you know, a work in us that shows itself on the outside. So what Paul's saying is that your love may abound more and more. So again, it's not about following a bunch of rules. He wants the inside stuff to show on the outside. Now, you just look at more stuff that he's talking inside stuff that's going to show on the outside. Look, with knowledge and all discernment. And we grow in that. If we're following him and he's doing this good work in us, then we grow in knowledge and all discernment, inside stuff, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now, look at this last part. This is about inside and out. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Well, how is that an inside-out deal? Okay, well, we talk about fruit. Well, an apple tree, that's the inside, produces apples. That's the outside. This is saying it's filled with the fruit of righteousness. So righteousness is what's on the inside. And that's what bears fruit. So sometimes we wonder, we wonder what it's like to live a life of faith. We hear these stories where we wonder how this person follows the Lord, or we see people, God working through people. And again, we think, I just need to do more stuff. It's not about that. It's not, because that's a losing battle, because what happens? Then we fall into the rules, and then we mess up, and then we feel like we have to apologize and all that. And that's just not what it was created to be. So what we see is that spiritual growth is not about following rules. Well, we've defined it in this way. Let's show the definition that we use of spiritual growth. It's very, very simple, and it's very easy to remember. Spiritual growth is growing in faith and love. That's it. And we're going to break this down a little bit. Growing in faith and love. That's a very simple. We want to know how to grow. That's how we do it. We grow in faith. We trust Him. We follow Him. Tugs of the heart and all this type of stuff. This work He's doing. We're in agreement with Him, and we follow Him. And then we grow in love. It's very simple to remember. We've got to talk about how that's really going to show. We're not talking about not being obedient. We're not talking about we don't confess. This just looks different. This just looks different than that. Look, let's put those things back up again. The things that we talked about before. I think it's the next slide. Okay, remember we talked about this? These are the things that we think are some of the rules, so to speak. And if we do these things, then we'll have spiritual growth, because we follow rules that equals spiritual growth. That's what we think. Let's change our mind, because so much of our faith has to do with changing our mind. We look at Romans 12, and it talks about changing our mind. We have to unlearn a lot of things. We have to learn to think differently. So instead of thinking, because right there, that's what we think of that is, in a way, rules. But let's change how we think. Let's think about serving. Let's not think about it as a rule to follow, but let's think about it in the context of love. All right? So how do we attach love with serving? Instead of, I should, so I do, how do we attach love with serving? Okay.
We want to live our way through Christ, or the way that Christ expects us to live, or we live our life as Christ would. What, and you've heard this before, what if only a glimpse of Christ that somebody who's never been a Christ follower sees through us? We've got to be doing something right for them to take notice.
Right.
They go, hey, I want to be like that guy or that girl, you know, and that's the only glimpse I've ever seen.
And so you're talking about when we serve people, it's not serving because I do it. I'm serving because I love. And we're talking about, yes, serving on a Sunday, but we're talking about serving the people that are in our lives and people that we just rub shoulders with. So I love people, so therefore I serve. That's a whole lot different than, check, I served. All right, what about giving? Let's think about it. How do we attach giving with love? Someone. Giving's harder. Because you love them. Not doing it because you have to, doing it because you love. That's good. That's big.
I think of it, and this word will bring up rules, which it's not. This is not a rule. But obedience is a part of loving someone. You obey them if you love them and trust them. And that is a different thing than the rules. But giving and all of these things come from an overflow.
Right. Of the heart, of the inside,
yeah.
Of the love. Yeah. Right. Not. Go ahead.
Maybe mixing giving and compassion, but giving when you don't even really have that much to give. I mean, regardless, you know. I've got two donuts and I want them both by myself. I mean, you know, something so simple.
That's kind of crass too. I don't know about that type of love. You're speaking Mark's language. He woke from his slumber. Donuts? But that's what we're talking about. It's different. This is what we're talking about is different. You bring up the word obedience. We don't think of that as love. We think of that as following the rule. And I'm not saying that we're not obedient, because there are times that I just love, so I'm being obedient. No, we're obedient because we love the Lord for a lot of reasons. But still, and we can trust Him, but we don't really think about it in the context of love. Same thing about being kind, about reading the Bible. I love the Lord. I want to know Him better. And I want to understand Him better, because I want to communicate to others. And, you know, and I love the Father, so I want to spend some time with Him in prayer. You know, I love people. I love people, and I grow in a relationship. If they know the Lord, then we're going to share this Christ-like love. And I want other people that don't know the Lord to experience that love as well. So them sharing faith. You see, it's a different mindset. It's all about not I have to. It's a whole lot different than I have to. It's I desire to. Even when I don't desire to, I just do because of love. That's good. You know, I think that I want to add something, because it's very easy to think Here's what we think. We think we get to define love. We just do. I mean, you can think about it in marriage. You can think about it just any relationship. We think we can define it. And no, like when it comes to marriage, we can't define how a person is to love their spouse. It's clear through the scriptures of what that looks like. Well, how many people left? Well, I just fell out of love, or I just don't love him, or I don't love her anymore. And it's such a wrong understanding of love. I mean, because we're to love even when we don't feel like we love that person anymore. That's love. Love is tough. Love is rough. Love will tell someone the truth even when it hurts. You know, love is not having a friend who is living in ways that are, that's a Christ follower, and maybe living in ways who that are not Christ-like, and then and you're just cheering them on, and you're just like, yeah, all right, that's right. You know, you're just going to, no, it's being willing to say, you know what, I just don't think that's right. I mean, that's love. So love is not this sort of feeling thing and all this, and we can take love and do what we want. And the scriptures are clear about how we're going to show our love. And what's the greatest commandment? Love God, love others. And how that plays itself out. But we can say, well, I don't serve because, well, I love my family. I'm just going to spend some time with them, and that's how I'm going to show my love. It's like, yeah, we can define love any way that we want to. And it just doesn't work. And the same thing, we can't say that, you know, it's not a loving thing to do even with ourselves to justify our own actions. Or excuse what we do. Well, the reason why I do this is because of this, or I'm not going to love because of this. No. I just think that this is so important to understand more and more about what love really is, to be able to better understand it. Because sometimes we don't love because we don't really know what love looks like. And maybe it's because it's never been modeled for us. Well, if we're open, then from the inside out, God's going to show us what love is. And his way is better in every way. All right, so we're going to kind of land the plane around here. Because some might say, look, if you knew my story, if you knew what I've been through, if you knew what my marriage looked like or my friendship or what my parents were like or what my kids were like, then you wouldn't be saying just love. Love. Well, let's forget about anything what I would and wouldn't say, because it's not really about what I would say. You know, it's all about what the Lord would have us do out of love. Again, love is love, even when it hurts. Maybe especially when it hurts, is love. Love's harder than we think. It's tougher than we think. Love demands more than we think, but love is also better than we think. So this week, I want you just to, you know, you just be thinking about your life scenarios. Think of your friendships and think of your other relationships. If you're married, think about those relationships. And if the marriage is difficult and it's, you know, it's so easy just to either bail or just to treat that person the way they treated you, and on it goes. But, you know, if you're single, if you're a student, think about the relationships you have with parents. Think about, you know, whatever scenarios are in your own mind. And ask yourself, there's a question that we've asked before. I think it's one of the best questions I've ever heard. And I didn't come up with it, but I'm going to use it from now on like I came up with it. What you need to ask yourself in every situation, what does love require of me? Because that's you. If in marriage, if Jason doesn't feel like loving me, which I know you'd find hard to believe, but if she didn't feel like loving me, well, that there's feeling, there's emotion, there's the reasons that she might have. Question like this, you remove yourself from the situation because you're not saying, it's what does love require? It's not, you know, well, in light of this and this and this and this, should I not love? No, it's saying, well, what does love require me to do? Well, love requires me to love. And how? In this way. So if you ask this, this will change your life. Like, I guarantee you this will change your life. If you ask this question in your life, if you never forget this question, and you remember to ask it when someone's treating you poorly, or when you don't want to serve, or when you don't want to give, and you don't want to love, and you don't want to do any of these things that the Lord would have us do, then all you have to say is, what does love require of me? And you'll have your answer. And then it's just about saying, okay, Lord, give me the willingness to do what love requires of me in this situation. Because, let's not make a mistake, yes, it does not start with us. It does not start with outside actions. It starts on the inside. But actions do come. Our last series, Love Does. I mean, love that doesn't show anything. You say you love, but look at how you act. And time again, you say you love, don't even say you love, because they make a difference. There's nothing like love in action. And that's to be you and me. And you'll be shocked at what happens to you, and I'll be shocked what happens to me if I just live by something like this. Jason brought this up. Think about all that the Lord went through, all that Jesus went through in order to show God's love to you. I mean, just think about it. And you know what he tells us, essentially? That same love, that's how I want you to love others. That same love. Sacrificial type of love. Others first type of love. He'd be the first to say it's worth it. And he knows better than the rest of us. You know, I actually used these verses in a funeral, and it's always in weddings. And I've done marriage things, and whenever I bring up this verse, everybody knows this verse from weddings, and it's just a great couple. I mean, these verses, this is wonderful. Love means business. It's not this funny feeling, oh, lovey-dovey. It's not. It's not. Let's hit. I think I have it up. Yeah. Love is patient and kind. I mean, look at that. Anytime you just think, am I loving, just say, am I patient and kind? See, love means business. I mean, it didn't take very long to mean business. And we do this at weddings and all this, and it's like, all right, this is big. Love does not envy or boast. Wow. Not arrogant or rude. This means business. Look at that. It does not insist on its own way. Look at that. This is funny. I don't even want to say it. It's not irritable or resentful. I mean, look at that. It's not irritable or resentful. Yeah, say it. Say it. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. And it rejoices with the truth. Wow. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's not what we think love is, right? But we should. And whenever we can ask ourselves, what does love require me to do? And then say, I'm going to go read those verses that I don't want to read, but I feel like I should read. I'm going to ask myself, am I patient and kind? What does love require me? It's to be patient right now. I mean, I can only control my actions, so I'm going to be patient, kind. I mean, I love that. Not arrogant or rude. And I love that. Does not insist on its own way. Wow. Look, our world, our series is Address the Mess. Our world's a mess. But this is a big way that the Lord has decided to address the mess through you and me. And if you are a Christ follower, it's already in you. Let the Lord complete this good work that he's already started in you. You prayerfully live this out, and it's going to change lives, including your life. All right, let's pray. My Lord and God, I pray that you help us to understand, even if we don't have full understanding right now of, okay, so I don't understand the mix of it's not about rules, but we have actions, and I don't know which actions are rules and which are not. Lord, that's all details that you've already sorted through. All that you ask of us is to trust you. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to follow you into love. We might go kicking and screaming, but Lord, help us just to be, let's just be willing. Help us just to be willing to love. It sounds simple, but Lord, it's life-changing. This is how you've, in big way, decided to change the world. For you so loved that you sent your son. You loved us before we loved you. Lord, I pray that you help us grow in our faith and grow in our understanding so we can understand these absolute truths that we can hang our hat on. If there's someone in here that's never said yes to you, Lord, that I'm going to give you my life, I pray they do that. You know, if anybody has questions, I pray they ask them. If someone feels a step they want to take but they need encouragement, I pray they tell somebody. No matter, it doesn't matter if it's a student, it doesn't matter if it's an adult, it just doesn't matter, Lord. I pray that every single one of us learns to live our faith every single day. Help it to be real in our lives. And help it to show itself in love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.